Welcome to Bits About Books, the home for conversations with authors of breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. Founders, entrepreneurs, and individual professionals, we all need to keep track of ideas that are helping create our today and tomorrow. Bits About Books will strive to find those books and speak to their authors, go behind the scenes and understand what inspired the authors to write the books that they did and how they went about doing so. Through our conversations, we hope to gain insights that will help us to get the most out of our efforts. I'm your host Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform where our mission is to make buying easy. Thank you for your time and for joining us in this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. It means a lot to hear from you. Today we have with us Brand Pinvidik, and we will speak with him about his national bestseller, The 3-Minute Rule.
Well, you know, I've been doing it in Hollywood, pitching television shows for so long. I just developed a system of how to explain an idea really cleanly, really quickly, with all the valuable points. We've sort of been taught like you can make big promises in a really quick, short pitch and people will be interested. In today's world, it's not the way it works, right? If you hear somebody in an elevator make a big proclamation, oh, hey, I can make you 10 times your money on an investment by the end of the year, you know, we've been taught that the person's going to lean in and be like, oh, wow, that sounds interesting. Tell me more. And really what happens is as soon as someone hears a big claim or something spectacular or the features or the details, like they just don't believe you. That's the problem. And so what I teach is a completely different method called the inform and lead method. It's a form of storytelling that we use in Hollywood when we're trying to build characters, when we're trying to build to a conclusion. Movies that are 2 hours long build with the characters and inform you to the big conclusion. And you can do that in a 3-minute window. Basically, where you what you want them to feel, if you want your audience to think they can make 10 times their money on this great investment, you don't state that. You want to lead them with the information that makes them start to think that. They're thinking in their head, wow, this could be a great investment. This might be like really good. Could be maybe 10 times.
Brand Pinvidik is an award-winning film director and veteran television producer involved in the creation and production of more than 300 television and film projects throughout his career. These include smash hits like The Biggest Loser, Extreme Makeover, and MasterChef. He is widely recognized as one of the great creative sales leaders in Hollywood. He is now one of the most sought-after C-level sales and presentations coach, keynote speaker, top-rated podcast host, and a columnist for Forbes. His new book and national bestseller is The 3-Minute Rule, and it shows you how he has been helping everyone from Fortune 100 CEOs to PTA presidents say less to get more from any pitch or presentation. He has been named to the Hollywood Reporter's 30 most powerful reality TV sellers. Now, on to this entertaining episode with Brand Pinvidik. Brand, welcome to Bits About Books. I'm really excited to have you here.
Excellent, Shubhanjan. I appreciate that. I'm very excited to talk to you today.
You know, the world of sales is full of ideas, right? So, Absolutely. Selling is about ideas. And I was really intrigued by the 3-minute rule when I found you and I sort of reached out to you on LinkedIn. It looked like a very interesting and too simple an idea. So how did you sort of think about it, and tell us a little bit about how you got to that?
Well, you know, I've been doing it in Hollywood, pitching television shows for so long. I just developed a system of how to explain an idea really cleanly, really quickly, with all the valuable points. And from a television perspective, the presidents of the networks are very, very hypersensitive. They're very sophisticated in their understanding of television. We're all basically pitching really similar type products. Slightly different in the concept, of course, the idea of the show is different, but how it works and what it's going to do, a lot of that's very similar. So when you're a network president, you're taking 15 pitches every single day, you kind of want to just get to the basics of it and make sure that you know, you're not wasting their time is the way I used to develop. And so what I would find is I had this really good system of working with these network presidents to just get the idea out so quickly. And it wasn't until I started working with other companies that I realized, well, this has the same effect in everywhere else and every other part of my life and every other part of conversation is like people just want to get to the point. And so it's actually a lot harder than it looks to take what you want to say and pare it down to only what needs to be said.
Right, right. I can understand the context because I made some television. I did some television work in India way back. So I understand exactly what you're talking about. And I also understand how difficult it must be to get more time from this from these people who actually decide on what shows to commission and so on. So
right.
And I also sort of, when I was reading through some of the excerpts that were there, you do differentiate it from elevator pitch. So typically when you're talking about 3-minute rule, people will say, oh, it's like an elevator pitch. But you are very clear that it's nothing like the elevator pitch. So just elaborate it.
Yeah. And well, that's the thing. Like, we've sort of been taught, like, you can make big promises in a really quick, short pitch and people will be interested. In today's world, it's not the way it works, right? If you hear somebody in an elevator make a big proclamation, oh, hey, I can make you 10 times your money on an investment by the end of the year, you know, we've been taught that the person's going to lean in and be like, oh, wow, that sounds interesting. Tell me more. And really what happens is as soon as someone hears a big claim or something spectacular or the features or the details, like, they just don't believe you. That's the problem. And they take a big step back and they're just like, every single statement you say from the second you've made that big claim, they're going to be looking to poke holes in and they're going to cause doubt. And so what I teach is a completely different method called the inform and lead method. It's a form of storytelling that we use in Hollywood when we're trying to build characters, when we're trying to build to a conclusion. Movies that are 2 hours long build with the characters and inform you to the big conclusion. And you can do that in a 3-minute window. Basically, where you what you want them to feel, if you want your audience to think they can make 10 times their money on this great investment, you don't state that. You want to lead them with the information that makes them start to think that. They're thinking in their head, wow, this could be a great investment. This might be like really good. Could be maybe 10 times. Like, you want them to have that feeling as you build your information, and using information as the building blocks is really where the core of value is today, because people have a very short attention span and they just want to get to the information.
So why did you think of writing the book? I understand that you are getting success. You figured it out. Maybe you would like to tell about the story that I heard where you first sort of encountered this situation.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting because I was pitching television shows at a hotel to one of my family. I was telling them all the shows that I, you know, somebody hadn't bought and they were really impressed. Oh, that sounds like a great TV show. And I was like, I know, I think that's an amazing TV show. And some other people were hearing and listening and I was, you know, telling what I do. And then an investment banker came to me and said, hey, do you think you could teach my clients how to do what you do? Could you show them how to pitch an idea without putting people to sleep? And since I'd never done it before or worked with anybody outside of TV, I was like, well, we can give it a shot. And when I worked with that first client, it was like, wow. You know, he was an oil and gas guy. And the way he was explaining it was so bad and was just so not compelling. And I was so surprised that, you know, there's a $2 billion company and the CEO is a very well-educated, incredibly gifted human being, but this was just part of what he did that doesn't fit into his skill set.
Right.
And so I happen to have a skill set of breaking down an idea, finding the statements of value, putting them in an order that people will understand, leading people with the information so they desire the same conclusion you do. And when I was able to show him exactly how that worked, he got, you know, it was just eye-opening and it transformed what his business did, and that was amazing.
It sounds really simple, right? So
yes.
would you sort of walk us through any example where a complex idea is actually pared down to its very core and still makes a compelling narrative and still is done in about 3 minutes?
Well, I get a lot of those where every single client I start with says, you know, I have a very complex company. There's so many things going on. There's no way I could explain it in 3 minutes. And I think one of the best ones was this early in my career. I met with this plumbing contractor. And even saying he's a plumbing contractor doesn't make sense because he's not really a plumbing contractor. He actually is more like a service provider that uses ads to gather information and leads and then contracts with a plumbing group that does the work that has a repiping for your home. And like that was how he would explain it. It was so kind of convoluted. And it was true. His business is kind of convoluted because he's not actually a plumber. But really what he does is he repipes houses. When your house has leaky pipes, problem pipes, there's an issue, he takes the old pipes away, puts brand new pipes in. It's pretty simple business. But when I was looking at the value of what he provided, what we were able to do in the 3-minute pitch and the way we were able to make it make more sense is the core value of what he offered was that they had come up with a new system that instead of when they repipe your house, instead of pulling out all the old pipes, they leave the old pipes exactly where they are and they run these new flexible plastic pipes through your house through very small holes in the wall and in the ceiling and connect them to the faucets. So what you would normally think is a major renovation, repiping all of the plumbing in your house, is now turned into a minor home project that can be done in one day. And when you understood that value, that became the basis of the entire pitch. We're a plumbing repipe company. We only do repipes for whole homes. We leave your existing pipes exactly where they are. We use flexible PEX pipes to weave through your house and connect all your pipes. We cut small holes in your drywall, feed the pipes in. We can be in and out of your house, do your entire house in one day. You don't even need to move out of the house for the day while we do it. Right. It takes what's normally a major construction project at your house and turns it into a minor home renovation. And it's just being able to explain it like that was like, whoa. And then his customers and everybody understood that. It was like, okay, if I hire you to come repipe my house, I now know exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
And where the value of that is. And then from there, all the other questions come, all the complications, all the little details, all the subtle nuances. That all comes later. Once you've got buy-in from your audience where they're like, okay, I get it. I understand what it is and how it works. Now that I understand what it is and how it works, now I want to talk details. Now right. I'm interested. Let's have a conversation. Tell me about what you've done before. Tell me about your history, right? And then he would go in. We've been doing it for 25 years. We're the only company that does it in this manner. We're the largest in the country. And it's like, okay, now that information makes sense.
Absolutely.
And has value. And so to be able to build it like that, and you know, for that pitch, it may be a minute and a half. It doesn't have to be 3 minutes. 3 minutes is like, if you're lucky, you can get 3 minutes.
Right.
Because people are going to make that initial yes or no on whether they're interested in less than 3 minutes.
Right.
And as people listening will know, they've probably made pitches or had someone come pitch them something and they've already had the yes or no in their head in the first 30 minutes, 30 seconds, 15 seconds sometimes. And what I'm saying is, like, if you use storytelling effectively, you could actually extend someone's attention and their focus for long enough to get as much information of value in as possible before they decide whether they want to engage with you more. And if you do it right and you follow the steps in the book, you might get 3 minutes. You might be able to get 3 minutes worth of valuable information before they make a yes or no answer. That's really, really important and very valuable.
It's time for a short break. I asked Brandt, while he has been pitching to network presidents, creative television shows, and film scripts, how does that fit into the replumbing company story that he told us? When we come back, we will hear Brandt explain how exactly he stumbled onto the fact he had something that is valuable for all businesses. We'll be right back. You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end. Welcome back. As we went into the break, I asked Brandt how his experience of selling ideas to the creative industry found takers in daily routine businesses. When did he figure he was onto something? Let us find out.
I'll take a step back and ask you, and I'll come back to this 3 minute, how did you arrive at the exact 3 minutes thing, but I'll just step back and say that you have been pitching to media creative professionals, right? As your core activity yourself.
Yes.
You have been pitching to network presidents and so on, right?
Yeah, that was my core business.
And this plumbing example is as far as it can be from that.
That's correct.
Right?
And that was when I knew that I had something, because I had been working with like really large companies, high-tech biotech companies. And I thought it was sort of like, well, I speak a language that high-level CEOs understand. And so I was able to do that. When I worked with a sort of plumbing contractor, or I've worked with, you know, friends of my wife for their school projects, I realized like the same formula I'm using to break down a TV idea, to break down a type 1 diabetes anti-rejection therapy drug, that could use the same formula, the same structure, the same process to find people's core value, to lay it out in a certain order and then be able to deliver that value to others. I realized this is probably what I should be working on for this book.
Right. And did you arrive at this 3 minute? I mean, it's a very catchy title, right? So I just want to.
Because I had always used that in my office, because we would never, ever, 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 ever pitch a TV show that was longer than 3 minutes. We'd never make a tape that would show the TV show or a presentation longer than 3 minutes. That was just the absolute ironclad rule in the office. Everybody understood that. Everybody knew that. Right. And so I had just sort of coined that. It's like this doesn't fit in the 3 minute rule, because we'd make a presentation for a TV show and we love the characters and it's 3 minutes and 45 seconds. It was like, nope. And so when I did the book proposal to go out with the book, the very first, it was called the 3 minute rule. But when we first started, I made the big deal with Random House, and the very first call, they're like, okay, we need to come up with a new title. And I was like, okay. Because they're like, it's 3 minute rule. You know, there's a 5 minute rule out there, a 5 second rule. We don't want to, you know, it doesn't tell you what the book is exactly. Like there was let's find a new title. And then we went through titles, and eventually people kept coming back and be like, you know what? It really is the 3 minute rule. And after I wrote it, everybody was like, okay, that is the title. So I've been using that version for a very long time.
Very interesting. And I also sort of see the rationale. I mean, I was reading, as I said, and you say that it's not about who you are pitching, but who they are pitching to. And unless it's really succinct, they're unlikely to take your message without distorting or without forgetting parts of it.
That's absolutely 100% true. And really, that's the core of what everybody's dealing with. You're dealing with decision by committee, effectively. People don't make decisions on their own anymore. They want to validate it. They want to discuss it. They want to see what other people think. It's the Amazon review curse, right?
Right.
Amazon reviews are very powerful and they're very helpful, but now I can't do anything. I can't buy anything until I go to Amazon and check the reviews. And our world has turned into that. We don't buy on emotion anymore. We get interested on emotion, sure.
Right.
We want to engage because of emotion, but we buy on safety. We buy on security. We buy on delivery, and that's because people want to verify it. And there's a lot of industries out there that have been built on impulse buying.
Right.
And what you can get out of your audience today is impulse research, basically.
Right.
I can get you to decide to go research this or decide to go talk with someone else. Like very rarely do I get you to impulse buy anything. And I've been working with a lot of clients who have had to change their entire structure of their business because they – focus on impulse buying in the moment in an emotional state, and people are just resistant to that now more than ever.
Yeah, actually, I was talking to somebody called Todd Capone. I don't know whether you know him.
Yeah.
He wrote a book called The Transparency Sale. and he actually, this his whole book is on what you just said, that nobody buys anything without reading reviews anymore, which means it's very difficult to hide behind whatever. Right?
Yeah, and I have an entire chapter about the negative of I ask my clients right away, what do you hope your client, what do you hope your customer doesn't find out? Hmm. If you're making a presentation, what do you hope the first question they ask isn't? Hmm. What do you want them to not think? Because we better deal with that, because there's no way to escape it. They're going to figure it out.
Right. Absolutely. This is obviously something you understand very well. I mean, you can look at a product and you can say, hey, Shubhanjan, you know what? This is how it has to be distilled down to 3 minutes. It doesn't matter. You have that lens.
Yes.
Is it possible to read the book and actually be able to do it?
I know what you're saying. Well, the book is really not, it's not traditional in the sense that I don't do these sort of like, all I do is tell stories and tell you how it worked for me and inspire you. That's not really what I do. The 3 minute rule is really a very specific how to guide. I give you all the theory and all that stuff, but then I really walk you through how to take one through from scratch and how to break out an idea into bullet points, how to take those bullet points and expand them into statements of value, how to use the before and after method to figure out which statements come before each one and after. And then I show you what's called the WAC method. What is it? How does it work? Are you sure? And can you do it? And these are four steps to take your information and place them in order. So you know, okay, this question answers what is it? This question answers how does it work? And when you see that narrative come to life with the examples I've laid in the book, you can start to build it on your own. And I have a thing on my website where I have people send me their 3 minute pitch and be like, hey, do I have it right? And people will send me their presentations. And a lot of times they get really close and I give them some advice here and there, and people will send me their log lines. And it's remarkable how just reframing the way you think of your information will help you replace it in the right order.
Right. Let me now move it forward and talk about your chapter number 13, which is PowerPointless.
Yes, it certainly is.
Tell me about it.
Listen, PowerPoint is powerful. When used right, it's just almost never used right. Almost never. Yes. And I mean, basically never. When I do a keynote speech, I get paid quite a bit of money to do them. Thousands of people in the audience. I will literally use black and white text slides with one or two words on them as an example of, hey, when I'm telling you a story, when I'm speaking to you, when I'm trying to influence you, I don't need help from this screen to do the job for me. What I want this screen to do is to help me make my point bigger and better. I want it to be a bonus. I want it to add something to the conversation. And too many people don't know how to make the PowerPoints do that. They rely on them to carry all the information. They'll take literally what they would hand out in a slide and then put that on the screen and speak to it. And people are reading ahead. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just doesn't help you. And so if you go through the chapter, you can really see how to use a PowerPoint and use a template. Here's 10 slides. Here's the way you just fill it in. You can use simple stuff. If you've ever seen me speak, and there's lots of me online, you can just see, like, I use one and two words at a time that just guide the audience. Your only goal is to guide your audience to the thoughts and conclusions that you want. And, like, does your PowerPoint do that? Because if it doesn't, you're just making a waste of time, and nobody's impressed with PowerPoint anymore. Nobody cares about your transition. No one likes your fonts. No one worries about your graphics. No one gives a crap. They just want information, and they want it right now, and they want it in the right way.
Absolutely. And it sort of fits into the simplification idea, right? So somebody who is listening to your story for the first time, he doesn't need a 300-page novel. He's really looking at he's looking at a cartoon which will tell you what the message is. And that's something he will carry. And if that motivates enough, as you said, he's going to come back and ask you more.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So can you share some stories about people? I mean, this book has been out for a while. Has anybody come back and shared stories of success of how they have used this and how they have made progress in their sales or marketing efforts?
Oh man, I get emails and things every day from people who have been using it, who've used it to raise money. A lot of people in the startup world use it because they want to raise money. They need to go out into the world and explain that to stuff. I've had people tell me about their family. I have a guy that I've been following for the last month as he was getting his kid to pitch his university on covering a piece of his tuition because he couldn't afford it. And I helped them, right there. They sent me their bullet points, which was really neat. So it's like, I'm watching it happen in real time. And it's just amazing. And everybody feels the same thing. They just want to learn how to say things in a simple way, to say less and get more out of what they want. And it's been fascinating to watch this happen. And if you get the book, I mean, it's just like, it's as clear as a bell. You can walk through and you'll see exactly what you're doing wrong and how you're making it more complicated, and to pull it back is just really adds to the process.
Great. So would you like to add something more to this conversation in terms of for the listeners?
Listen, I think the most important thing for listeners and one of the takeaways that I always say is, be passionate about your facts, not your opinions. And too much when you're pitching or presenting or trying to influence someone, you want to tell them what you think is great and how you feel it's going to do wonderful things. And people just don't believe that anymore, and they don't want to hear that. They want to hear what the facts are first. And that will generate confidence. If you want to be more confident pitching and presenting, when you have simplified information that you believe in the value, you will naturally be more confident in that process. And I think that may be one of the biggest takeaways from the book, is that when you use it to simplify your information, it makes everything more, your whole world opens up in a more confident manner. And I think that's been really fun for me to watch from the audience.
Bits About Books is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers through its presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos, and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 99021-631-32.
Awesome. So, Brandt, how do people get in touch with you if they want to?
I'm pretty easy to find. The3MinuteRule.com is easy to get to me, or on any social media site at Brandt Pinvidic. And I'm happy to help anybody anytime.
Thank you, Brandt. I really enjoyed, and thank you for being on the show.
You got it.
Coming up in the next episode with Rand Fishkin, founder of Moz, creator of Whiteboard Fridays and now SparkToro, his supremely candid book by any founder ever, Lost and Founder, a painfully honest field guide to the startup world.
I was in a little bit of a strange position in my career. I had founded this company, Moz, a software tech startup, and run it as CEO for 7 years, and then I stepped down. I found that my my contributions and opinions inside the business were not taken as seriously. I think there was some perception that maybe I had misled the company my last couple of years as CEO, and so I needed something else to do, right? I needed some other way to contribute. And my hope, my hope with Lost and Founder was to take a lot of the stories and lessons that I think I had misinterpreted and potentially presented wrongly over the years, and repackage those in a way that told the whole story. I tend to be very transparent. I bias that way, but Lost and Founder was certainly, it had a little bit more freedom because it had the benefit of historical perspective, right? I got to look back on my career and the growth of this company, the challenges the company had gone through to get to where it was, and because of that, I think the reflection of here's what we did and here's how it affected the years ahead was very different from the blog posts and videos and interviews and stuff that I had done over the years, which were very much in the moment, right? Hey, here's this thing we did and it worked. We did it last month, as opposed to, oh, 3 years ago when we did this thing, it looked like it worked. And then this year, as we're reflecting on it, I think it was actually the wrong decision, and here's why. And that, I think that historical perspective can be invaluable, right? Because for many business owners, I think that the way to connect is with data and stories. And so Lost and Founder tries to have both of those.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of weeks with great conversations with Rand Fishkin, Benjamin Hardy, Lisa Magnusson, and many more. Stay tuned. Thank you for being with us today on Bits About Books, where we talk to authors about breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and buy the book to learn firsthand and implement some of the great ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of Bits About Books. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it.
This BizCast original podcast is produced for PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform, where the mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Subhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.